can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Talking a lot of baseball today. I'll get into the topic that Javi brought to the table to all of us over the weekend. But I do have an update from Roush Fenway Racing on Ryan Newman. This happened at the end of our show yesterday. The terrible crash at the end of the Daytona 500. So we have an update on his health. It says Ryan Newman remains under the care of doctors at Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach, Florida. He is awake and speaking with family and doctors. Ryan and his family have expressed their appreciation for the concern and heartfelt messages from across the country. They are grateful for the unwavering support of the NASCAR community and beyond. We will continue to provide information as it becomes available.
Visually, that was one of the most wicked things I've seen in a long time. They have come in. I don't speak from a great deal of experience or I don't know a ton of the facts associated. I know this. The cars are so much safer now than they were years ago. And the changes that have been made have helped keep these guys safe. But ultimately, it is a very, very, very tenuous and fragile sport in terms of safety. It's very difficult for these guys to do what they do. And there's a lot of risk attached to it. But wow. I mean, the wreck itself was just horrifying. Horrifying to watch. So to hear that these are not life-threatening injuries, at the very least, is reassuring. And I think a lot of people are relieved at that.
Yeah, if there's any other statements that they put out, we will keep you updated on that throughout the afternoon. The phone number to reach us, talk about anything, 312-332-3776. The Astros continue to be a big topic. Jason Kipnis did not hold back either. And that's what I love the most about this. And we could talk more about that, but I wanted to bring up the Javi stuff. And you mentioned to us, Waddle, off the air, that we really didn't expand much. We just played it and didn't talk about what it means or what. And so Javi was talking about yesterday or over the weekend regarding how he didn't work as hard as he should have. Do we have the bite? Can you play that for me, Meller, on Javi Baez, on what he was talking about?
I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready during the game, which is not good. But this year, I think we before the games, we got to be all everybody out there as a team, you know, and stretch as a team and be together as a team so we can play together.
Look, this is why Joe got fired, in my humble opinion. This is why Joe got fired. And whether it was legitimate, whether this is just an empty narrative with no calories attached to it, in my opinion, Joe got fired because the players didn't hold up their end of the bargain with regard to doing what they need to do to be at their best. Now, I think Joe's been an open book. This is how he does his job. He has a laxed environment. And it's up to guys to be professionals. And ultimately, I look to players to be responsible for things themselves. But when you have a front office that's looking for change, to me, this was the narrative that they used to justify the firing of Joe. That if the players aren't holding themselves accountable, I can't fire all of our players. We're just going to change managers. We're going to get a guy that's in there that's different.
Right.
Like a David Ross is, I don't know if you're going to go from how many games they win last year? 83? How many?
I'm pulling that up right
Whatever
now.
Whatever it is. I don't know they're going from low 80s to low 90s because David Ross is going to put his foot down and he's going to manage with conviction and anger from the top step. But
84 last year, 84 and 78.
You know, I mean, look, because Chris Bryant says that he was ready to walk through a wall or run through a wall for David Ross after hearing David Ross's presentation. Will that equate to more wins? I don't know. But when people talk about why is Joe gone? I mean, and to me, this is it's always been as good of a divorce as you could possibly. So I said to Meller, sometimes, you know, like if some divorces, all your stuff is in the front lawn. I think Theo packed a lot of Joe's stuff, put it in a bag, and put it on his doorstep. And then they parted ways in that manner.
Saying it was a nice time.
Yeah.
Here's your stuff. I'll clean out the closet at your house. I'll get my stuff back.
Right.
We had a really good run, and there's no throwing stuff out the window. There's no stuff putting out on the lawn. And good luck to you.
I don't know if Joe Maddon was the biggest SOB and the biggest hard ass in baseball in 2019, I don't know if it would have made any difference with the Cubs in terms of their record.
Let me cut this off here. I want you to hear the beginning part of this though.
I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready to do it.
I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. If that was said by anybody else who wasn't more likable in Chicago, do you think think about what he's saying there. I mean, is that really on the manager?
No.
How many times has Javi made the All-Star team? Javi Baez was an MVP candidate 2 years ago. Wasn't he the runner-up or at least third?
This is a player responsibility.
He was second,
first and foremost.
He was a runner-up to Yelich a couple years ago.
They're going to fire Javi?
Somebody's he's the one guy they're talking about extending.
Right.
The guy who's admitting that.
This is, if you're not prepared to play, that's on you as a player. And again, I heard Jeff Passan talking with Cap about this as well. Javi plays hard. And I can't imagine Javi Baez isn't ready to play on a daily basis. But what Javi's telling you is he was doing things a little bit differently this year than maybe in the past. Maybe this theme of being fat and happy, whether there's any validity to it or not, I have no idea. But for a team that's looking to pivot and go in a different direction with a manager who brings a different presence and you were looking for a different relationship, this is the relationship conversation you have when the divorce takes place.
Like, when I go back and think about 19, I think these are easy things to say in retrospect.
Sure.
To make you feel better that things are going to be better in 2020. Because when they lost in 2017... after winning the World Series, the topic was we're
tired,
hungover.
Yeah.
It was the World Series hangover. Okay, we had a really long run in 16. We got to the NLCS. It's good. We were hungover. 18, did it get better? No.
Mm-mm.
What'd they say going into 19 last year? They said
accountability, baby.
Accountability, and we watched two teams celebrate on our field. We watched the Brewers celebrate the division title in game 163 in the 2018 playoffs. We watched the Colorado Rockies in extra innings celebrate the wild card berth on our field. We'll remember that feeling. We're never going to let that happen again. Now they're saying a year later that they didn't work hard enough. They weren't prepared enough. Come on now. You're looking to make excuses. You're making excuses. They didn't win because they didn't have a second baseman. They didn't win because they didn't have a leadoff hitter. They didn't win because they didn't have a closer. They didn't win because many of their guys underachieved. I don't think it was because they didn't work out together before a game and sing Kumbaya. I mean, again, all these things worked for them in 15 and 16.
So why was
these are excuses, because what they don't want to do is blame the tangible things.
Well, that again, and when Theo met the media 2 years ago, it was all about player accountability. And like I said, you can't fire 25 players, nor would you want to. So Joe was the unfortunate scapegoat for all of this. I mean, I think I read a tweet or an article today that David Ross called somebody out about not having the uniform on correctly. It's just going to be a different atmosphere. Whether or not you win 90 games or you win 70 games, I have no GD idea.
Right.
But you can just tell this is kind of what they're going to lean on going into the 2020 season, that, you know, back to heart, good old-fashioned hardball is kind of their mantra.
I mean, Quintana had an ERA of 4.68. Lester had an ERA of 4.46. Is that because... Now, Lester did lose weight. Did they literally get fat and happy? I don't know.
Don't know, but isn't it odd that that's kind of the refrain coming from camp early on? Camp's tougher. Camp, you guys are more accountable. You know what? This year, I'm going to come to the ballpark. I'm going to be ready to go more so. I mean, Wilson Contreras said this 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That he changed his workout situation.
Yes, yes.
And you know, look, I think you make a good point. If you're looking at this thing honestly, you look at some of the player personnel decisions that were made, and you would, I would think you'd blame them more than you would blame whether or not guys were ready to play when the first pitch was thrown.
Just remember, we've heard it from the Cubs before. They get tired easily. So
they do get tired. Well, I've not heard a baseball team talk about being tired as much as the Cubs the last several years.
So just remember, the reason that they like Joe's approach is because after the All-Star break, he would time out days off. He would do all this stuff to the players. Now you've got a guy who wants you out there. Yeah, you're going to get Veterans Day off and everything. But just remember that this team likes their naps and they like their juice boxes. So just be ready for that. Because Joe always was good. This team was always good right out of the start, right out after All-Star breaks. That was the Joe Maddon way. Because they're like, he takes care of our rest. He does that foreign Legion week and all that kind of thing. Just remember that when they're talking about missing the playoffs because they were too tired because David Ross rode them too hard. Just remember.
We've had all these themes. Last year was every game is valuable, right? And oh, we're putting on all this. Then what were we talking about?
October starts in March or something like that.
Yeah, October starts in March. What were we talking about by like the 10th game of the season? They put too much pressure on the team and instead of just letting them go out and play. Like, I think it's sort of silly.
There's a lot of odd messages coming from camp.
Those are all the intangibles that you can talk about and the narratives you can explain away. But, yeah, if John Lester's just older and not as good as he once was, that's a, you know, you no longer have a number one in your rotation. He's more like a number three. That's a problem. You traded for Jose Quintana to be a number two, and he's pitched more like a number four his entire time on the Cubs.
They seem like they're very intent on telling you about the differences now versus the way things used to
be. But again, last year the narrative was, we're never going to let that feeling happen again, watching the Brewers and Rockies celebrate.
And then Javi told you when he met the media the first time he wasn't ready to go.
Every game is meaningful. October starts in March. They were 1-6. They start out 1-6. All this is talk.
Yeah.
None of it matters. But can Kimbrel close? If he can, they'll be better. Is Yu Darvish going to pitch in the whole season like he pitched in the second half? Is Quintana going to pitch like the pitcher the White Sox used to have as opposed to the 2019 version of Quintana? Is Lester too old or is he going to pitch like the younger version like in 16 and 17? You know what else? Are they going to get production out of second base? Will they find an everyday solution at leadoff hitter? Who's their center fielder?
There's more structure in the dugout, and they're going to be ready when the game starts.
See, I think this is all talk. But
of course it is.
But somebody did tweet, MJP says, you better not give $250 million to the guy who admits that he wasn't prepared to play games.
But isn't it, like, statistically, did you like what Javier Baez gave you last year?
I'd like better. I'd like him to get on base a little bit more.
Well, I think everyone would. Do you think, I would like Tim Anderson to take a walk, too, but it doesn't mean he's going to.
Derek got ripped for everything Derek used to say, remember? We love Javi. I love Javi. But, I mean, hearing this.
I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready to do
it. Why not?
You know?
Well, but you are connecting the dots, though, aren't you? Where when Theo meets the media two straight years and talks about discipline and accountability, and what does Rossi bring? He's a fire breather. I don't know who they're going to be. Maybe they're going to put equipment on and come out and they're going to be the Bears. I don't know.
You better just hope the Angels don't go and win the World Series this year, because I don't know what the narrative's going to be if that's the case.
Well, they usually, the teams do well when Joe's new. Tampa did well for many, many years. They overachieved.
Maybe what they're trying to sell you is that a more accountable, more disciplined team we're going to be better. I don't know. I don't know what they're looking to do. And I think you can make a case for breaking away from Joe was a good thing for both sides. I just don't know that this new kind of more disciplined approach is necessarily going to equate to being a much better baseball team.
Do you believe the intangibles will help? We've heard all these excuses since 16. The hangover, and then the year after that, I forget what it was. And then last year it was October starts in March. But it's all been BS. Now they're telling us they weren't prepared. Or do you believe that this is more about that Theo and Jed haven't signed the right players? That Daniel Descalso stinks. Alberto Mora didn't achieve what he was supposed to be. They no closer till Kimbrel came. And then when Kimbrel came, he stunk.
Listen, they could have a more disciplined dugout on a day-in and day-out basis, but if they're not better individually, they're not going to be any better this year than they were last year?
332-3776. All that next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You know, when I think the manager makes the most impact is on a young team. I think this year will be a big important year in Rick Renteria, knowing if he's going to be the guy going forward. I think when guys are young and they don't know how to navigate a Major League Baseball season, when they're still, we talk about development, player development all the time with the Bulls. Like, yes, a lot of it's on the player, but Are they going to be able to develop? Are they put in the right positions? Are you batting them at the right time?
I don't think this. I think sports is all about being the best at combining the two, finding the right talent and then developing that talent. If you've got one without the other, you're never going to reach the top of the mountain.
That's why I think the manager, when you have a young team, like when the Cubs were in 15, like the White Sox are now.
Yes.
The navigation by the manager is it the most important that it's going to be? I feel like Cap always would yell that Javi needs to be benched. And I'm like, well, if Javi doesn't know to respect 90 after his manager made it a motto, and after going to Javi man-to-man, shouldn't it be enough at the major league level when Javi's got swag and he's this good and he plays the game hard, relatively speaking? When you go up to Javi, shouldn't it be enough by you saying, Javi, can't let that happen again. You got to run. Isn't that, I mean, do you need to be pulled from a game? Like when these guys' careers have been defined, John Lester, career defined, Javi Baez, career defined, Anthony Rizzo, career defined. Chris, these are veterans who have won and won big. Like, isn't it now up to the player?
Of course it is.
To come through more? Now you're creating habits with the White Sox, Aloy, Robert, Tim Anderson still being molded. He won a batting title. Moncada, all these guys, Kopech. I feel these are their formative years of setting the habits in place. And
look how detrimental it can be in a different sport. Where is Lauri Markkanen? Where's Kobe White? I mean, there's a good example of talented players who aren't being developed and you're not getting out of them what you need to get out of them.
I love Javi as much as everybody, but Tony tweets, and I think someone else is on the line, and I'll let him talk. I appreciate Javi Baez's honesty. His comments did not bother this lifelong Cubs fan. My question to you is, what if the exact same comment was made, but Jason Hayward or Yu Darvish made the comment?
Oh, I think most people, I don't think it matters who the player is. You don't want to hear that from anybody.
But do you think a greater pass is given? Oh, that's just how to be candid. Like if Yu Darvish said that his first year that I wasn't prepared to pitch, if Jason Hayward said I wasn't prepared for the game when he's making $180 million and isn't as successful.
Better players are always going to be given more of a pass. There's no doubt. Again, I bring this up because I think that this is an empty calorie narrative. That, you know, we're all of a sudden now going to be better because we have a different mentality on the top step. David Ross may be a fabulous manager. I don't know. But I don't think this team failed to reach where they wanted to be last year because Joe wasn't paying attention to things or he was asleep at the wheel. I don't believe that's the case. I think the majority of the reason why they didn't get to where they wanted to go is guys failed to reach expectations in terms of what was expected of them. The guys didn't perform collectively.
Ron's in Lake Zurich. Ron, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, so I like just to kind of piggyback off of the comment that the guy said where he like didn't mind the honesty by Javi. Like I listened to Kipnis. I've listened to a lot over the past few days about how we would have liked the Astros to be more forthright and more honest about the cheating scandal and everything else like that, and I totally agree with that. Like honestly, when Altuve said that he was gonna, the team was gonna do their best to bring another title to the Astros in 2020, I thought that was another terrible thing to say because obviously you've been doing more than your best to do that. Maybe you should just shut up about a championship and just talk about how you guys messed up. But my point is that we want honesty from the Astros. We want honesty from the people that have made mistakes. But then Javi
is honest about the mistakes that he's made, and he comes out, and now we don't want to hear it from him. And
no,
we
don't
want to hear it as anything other than an excuse.
I don't mind hearing it from him. I just say, you know what, that's a player problem first and foremost. And to Javi's credit, he's like, you know, my impression is he's going to change his approach. I got no problem with him saying it. I think you expect more from him. I mean, it's disappointing to hear him say it.
I like, Ron, that players don't speak in cliches and they give you honest answers. I'm just saying that that shouldn't be your answer.
Right.
Like, and that just, we're more accepting because it's Javi. Like, Addison Russell admitted that he didn't know the signs well, and he was demoted right away. And it was easy to get on Addison Russell because he violated domestic abuse and the situation with his girlfriend, and he didn't achieve what he was supposed to be. I think it's easier to forgive a player like Javi simply because it's Javi.
Sure.
That's a valid point. That is a valid point. I see where you're coming from with that. I also just feel like if we want honesty across the board, and we would feel better when a player is honest. Like, I get what you're saying, too. It's on the player to be prepared every day. I also feel like if that's the case, then firing the manager and the general manager of the Astros is not going to do a darn thing to solve this issue, because if it's on the players, those are the same, you know, just as Javi's a grown man who can decide to go and prepare the way that he should. Those are all grown men that could decide to be honest and play the game the right way or cheat the way that they did and wear buzzers and steal signs and everything else that's being accused of them. So I guess all I'm trying to say is, like, let's appreciate the fact that Javi is recognizing that there was an issue, and let's appreciate that maybe this team is trying to galvanize themselves around the things that they were not doing correctly. And whether or not that means Madden is a scapegoat or Ross is a savior, if it means the Cubs are going to win again, who cares?
Right.
Let's let them galvanize. Restart that culture the same way that Madden did, because that's what happened when Madden came in. He restarted the culture. It was like a reset button. They were wearing funny pajamas on planes. They were doing all kinds of crazy things that galvanized that team and brought them together as a family. If what it's going to take is having a common enemy instead of a common goal, then let them have a common enemy. As long as they win and we like the product on the field, that's really what sports is about, to bring us together, to give us something enjoyable to watch. Let's let Javi be Javi, because it's the same thing he's doing right now. He's always been Javi. He's always been his own, you know, kind of gone to the beat of his own drum. That's what he's doing right now. He's being honest. He's being Javi. And that's part of the reason why we like him. And that's part of the reason why we're endeared to him and willing to give him that extra slack over an Addison Russell or a Jason Hayward. Because
he's better.
Because he's
better.
Because
he's a better player.
Ron, I mean, thank you.
You can dress it up however you want. In professional sports, you get more, you know, you get more leeway because you're a better player.
All right. If you're not driving, okay, close your eyes. Mallor, close your eyes. Abdallah, your eyes closed? Waddle, come on, close your eyes. Play the imagining game.
Okay.
And if you're driving, keep your eyes open, but just think.
I'm dizzy.
We're at Halas Hall, July 2020, as the Bears report to camp in their new camp home. No more Bourbonnais. And Mitch Trubisky meets the media for the first time in 2020 and says at the podium to a Dan Wiederer question that he wasn't prepared to play in 2019.
No kidding. Hey, look, did you watch your own film?
Thank God we have a reason.
Yeah, I mean, thank the Lord.
I didn't watch enough. I didn't prepare to play that Rams game on national TV. Do you think there would be outrage? This is a guy who said he needs to turn the TVs off, and we put him over the coals.
It's never okay to say I wasn't ready to play.
And then
I
love Javi. I know we're shaping it as, oh, that Madden, he didn't have them ready to play. It's not that, Javi, damn it, you were were second in MVP voting, and you're telling me after you were eliminated twice in the playoffs in 2018, I'm sorry, that you weren't ready to play games in 2019?
This is why I said this is an empty calorie narrative about how, because there's a different mentality, all of a sudden everybody's going to be better. Boy, everyone's going to be better because you perform better, not because Joe's gone. And maybe you did need a kick in the butt every now and again, but ultimately, over 162 games, this is a player issue as much as it is. I mean, they've been developed. These guys are developed. They're accomplished guys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why it's so much more important to watch Ricky with the White Sox players and setting the habits in place.
Like, the only thing is, like, I have a hard time because I need, like, a tangible example of what they didn't do. Like, what did they do in the past that he didn't do last year that made them not ready to play baseball? Because they've been playing baseball their whole lives.
Like there was more to the answer I read in an article where Javi said, instead of getting loose before the game,
he
would use the game to get loose. And early in games, he wasn't really into it until the middle of the game because he was using the game to beat. And
well, that doesn't sound like a good approach.
It's terrible.
But is that on Joe? I don't know. Like, you're a professional. At a certain point.
That's my point.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
I'm not, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming Joe. What I'm saying is what's coming out of Arizona is, you know, we're going to be better because...
We're going to get to the ballpark 2 hours early.
And David Ross is preparing us. And taking names.
And we're going to stretch beforehand, so we're ready to go.
Listen, that may have a positive, tangible effect. I don't know. But this is why when you take a step back and you ask yourself the question, why in the world would the Cubs and Joe Maddon part company after all that success? It's because for whatever reason in the front office, they feel the team needs a different voice. And one that's louder and, I don't know, more strict.
Yeah.
Whether or not that equates to more wins, Lord knows. I have no idea.
All right. Waddle's World coming up. We'll have some fun there. And then there's some good storytelling that we've got for you at 4 o'clock from Kevin Garnett and Joakim Noah. It's all next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. To reiterate something that Sylvie said earlier in the show, news out of NASCAR, it seems good. Ryan Newman is awake, speaking with doctors after the horrific crash at Daytona yesterday. His racing team provided the update on Newman this afternoon. He remains under the care of at Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach, Florida. It was just a horrific crash, and good to know that it sounds like being awake and being able to communicate with his doctors, hopefully more news will be on the way. But it was. I mean, we were watching. It was
right during the end of the Gene Greco segment, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable just how horrific that crash was.
And then, you know, there was controversy with, the celebration.
Yes.
But no one knew. Joe Gibbs talked about this on the at the podium that no one knew the severity or, like, I guess all you had to do was look. But, you know, it was a photo finish and they win and you're in celebrate. You just win the Daytona 500. And a lot of people felt terrible after all the celebrating and festivities took place.
The winner, Denny Hamlin, apologized. Yes. He did not know, as you mentioned, the severity of the crash or the injuries to Ryan Newman. So it was horrific to see, that's for sure. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge says the Astros did not earn the title in 2017. I think we are going to go through weeks and weeks of this as guys get angry and threaten to put a beat down on different guys. I'll get to that in a second, but Judge said, I don't think it holds any value of the World Series won by the Astros in 2017. You cheated. You didn't earn it. He also addressed comments made last week by Cody Bellinger that Altuve stole the 2017 AL MVP award from Judge. With Bellinger, man, I agree with a lot of the things he said. Judge went on to say he went out there and spoke his mind. He really don't want to get into the whole if Altuve stole the MVP or not, because that really doesn't matter. It's over with.
I will say this, that I don't agree with what Joe Maddon said, that it's time to move on. I don't believe it's time to move on. I believe we're still finding stuff out. I believe if you move on, you're letting them off the hook. This is really, really serious. And I don't think anyone's satisfied with anything, with the cheating, with the apologies, with the penalty or the lack thereof. So I think there's still a lot to get after. Then there's going to be the retribution story, whether this is all bark and eventually won't be bite, or if we're going to see guys like you put it, Waddle, who are going to get suspended for throwing and retaliating, and these guys who cheated their way to a World Series will have nothing penalized.
It's a horribly convoluted and complicated situation going forward. Like, there are people clamoring for okay, now let's step in and levy a more severe penalty. I don't know that that's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, how are people? I think at some point when you get to the regular season, my guess is people will move on and you'll start focusing on your own individual team's situation. But for the time being, while these teams are in spring training, this isn't going away anytime soon. Frustration is growing over Manfred's decree to avoid Astros beanings. As you mentioned, there's a concern among teams that putting opponents on notice not to throw at Astros players, Manfred runs the risk of pushing umpires into overreaction, misreading intent of pitches, and pitchers who simply miss their target and hit Houston hitters accidentally rather than throwing at them on purpose. The Astros win again, one evaluator told ESPN's Buster Olney. Manfred is expected to impart his message to Cactus League managers in Arizona later on tonight. I mean, it's, I don't know, like you just mentioned, there are going to be guys that are going to get suspended for throwing at Astros players who were cheating and didn't get suspended. I don't know how this thing is going to resolve itself.
But yeah, I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
That's Nick Markakis. Yeah. I mean, and we'll see if they follow that up, if this is all talk right now. But people are mad. You heard Kipnis with us. People, it made it worse. The lack of an apology made it worse than the...
Well, the commissioner's saying that it's just a piece of metal, referring to the trophy that's got the commissioner's name on it.
I want to bring that up. We'll play some of the Lester sound later.
Pretty crazy. Sportsbooks have set the over-under on number of Astros batters expected to get hit. Yesterday, William Hill set the over-under of total Astros batters who will get hit by pitches at 83.5. Now, in the past five seasons, only 9 teams have had more than 83.5 batters hit by pitches.
Right, so this isn't like some outlandish number.
No, it's not.
It's still somewhat middle of the road, right? Like you said?
Well, no, it's actually on the higher end.
Yeah. Only 9 teams have had more guys hit by pitches in the last 5 seasons.
Basically, in the last 5 years. Okay,
yeah,
I thought that.
Basically, the Astros are going to have to be the top 3 teams in baseball, and they have, in the last 5 years, not been beaten more than 70 times.
I mean, again, I don't know how this is going to... My pure speculation, despite the, I mean, is things, they're percolating and they seem to be getting hotter and hotter instead of cooling off, which is understandable. But I don't know how it's going to go. If you throw out an Astro, then you're going to get thrown at. And as Kipnis told us earlier, look, there's people like strip them the title, don't let them play in the postseason. I don't believe the thing that you can do is not allow them to play in the postseason, because I think it then affects the competitive balance of the American League, and I just don't think that's a path you can take.
We were joking. Put Altuve in a garbage can. Like, at the beginning of a game, instead of throwing baseballs at everybody, everybody runs at Altuve when he's at his position, and the other team picks him up, and they put him in a garbage can. They rough him up and put him in a garbage can.
I think that's
an eye for an eye.
I was surprised to see that
take off his shirt, too, expose his bad tattoo.
He's got a bad tattoo. I was surprised to see that the commissioner's office really didn't have a case for suspending these players because of the Players Association and the appeals that would have been filed. I thought the appropriate thing to do, go back in time, is suspend these guys for a month or whatever the case may be, to know that that wasn't an option for them. I was shocked to hear that.
It's a good question. Like, now using hindsight, everyone says hindsight's 20/20, but now using exactly that, if you could go back in time, what would be the right way to do this? And this is what Golic and Wingo were talking about. Do you throw the book at them and suspend them hugely, so when they are reduced, or, you know, maybe they'll reduce to something that's more likely?
But I don't even know. Like, if you go through the process as it was described, like, the rule states that the commissioner's office informed management, and then it's management's job to inform the players. But if the players claim they were never informed by management, you don't have a case.
Yeah, so it sounds like there wouldn't even be a reduction. It would be completely thrown out.
It would be thrown out.
And then
which
the question
is shocking.
I think Passon brought this up. The question would be, does the commissioner's office look even more toothless in that scenario where they can't even punish the players when they try to?
Well, I mean, and then that's why you threaten vacating the title. Can you threaten the vacating the title for your testimony? If you guys choose to not testify, we're taking the World Series away.
And I wonder if they would have said, well, then we're not testifying. And you don't have enough evidence to convict us. And this can go on for a very long period of time.
Is there a way that baseball doesn't look bad? Like everyone's
I don't think there's any way. I think this makes them look horrible.
Any way around.
I don't think there's
any
way
they
out
would
of
have
this.
Handled it.
Yes, I don't know how this would have.
It's a good topic for four. We'll do that at four.
I don't think there's anything that. I don't know. At this point, I don't know what's going to happen. You start hitting guys, then your guys are going to get hit, then your guys are going to get suspended, and it's crazy. Lions, Dolphins, both teams listed with the top odds to sign Tua. Roll Tide, right?
So what about that if Tua would be in the division, and then Stafford would be traded or something? They would I've heard the talk that they would redshirt him.
Yes, they would. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be ready to play, is he, Abdallah?
He's not even working out yet. He screams.
I think most teams expect that he'll be redshirted.
I mean, I think what they'll do is what Kansas City did, if in fact he goes to Detroit. Anyway, it's hard to believe that mock drafts are already coming out. Maybe it's not hard to believe.
It's not fun, though. You texted us either last night or this morning. You always want to click on the mock draft and see Bears stuff, and then you're like, oh, we got Khalil Mack, but we don't have a first-round pick.
Joe Burrow says he does have leverage in the draft process. So, made you think a little bit about Eli Manning and how he got himself
but
out
what
of San
does that
Diego.
Mean?
He's basically saying, listen, if you draft me, maybe I don't show up.
But I thought he said he would play for Cincinnati.
I know. He's just saying, I want to remind you, I do have leverage, he said, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. The Bengals have their process, and I have my process. We haven't even gotten to the combine yet. There's a lot of things that happen leading up to the draft and a lot of information gathered.
Oh, so is he saying I'm interviewing the Bengals as much as they're interviewing me?
Maybe so. Maybe he's telling him, don't push me or I'll ask for a trade. All right, I have Tom Brady news for you when we come back, and I got some other nonsense for you as well.
All right, all that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Says here, Tom Brady may bypass the free agency tour and actually have teams come to him. Patriots and Tom Brady in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment until the scouting combine kicks off the unofficial official tampering season. It's likely to stay that way, but when it's time to make a decision about his future, the Patriots quarterback may forego one of the traditional trappings of free agency. According to Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston.com, when it comes to time to talk to other teams, Brady may try to set up meetings at one location instead of creating a circus.
It's what LeBron did. Do you remember that? LeBron brought everyone to Cleveland and Akron. Was it Akron or Cleveland? And they all went in 2010.
Give me your sales pitch.
My sales pitch? If
no,
I'm the Bears?
I'm just saying that's what he's telling people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and remember.
Bears don't have a sales pitch.
Don't you remember the Bears when they got Peppers? Peppers didn't tour.
No.
They went to Peppers and they go, here's our big bag of money. Do you
take
want it? And he said, yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
And then I'm going to buy everyone a bunch of champagne in a Chicago club.
It's going to be interesting to see what Tuomi does, but he's going to have people come to him. Wouldn't you think Tom Brady would want to kind of see where he may end up? Maybe he'll have conversations and then visit, but
I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it
he's
now.
Leaving? Oh,
no,
he's
no, no,
visiting
no.
place.
Did you see what Mike Reese said?
I did not.
Mike Reese writes for ESPN.com, and he's covered the Patriots for a while. He put it at 80% that Tom Brady returns to New England.
Yeah.
And he's pretty in tune, and it's the way like I told you, I believe they're working on Gronk right now. I believe that you're going to get Brady, and that's my prediction. I'm on record as saying that Brady and Gronk are both coming back to New England.
That would, I think, entice Tom to come back. They've got guys to sign. They need a decision from Tom sooner rather than later. They really do. Because they've got guys on offense that they need to lock up. They got guys on defense they need to make decisions on. They need to replace some guys. So they need to know how much money they've got to spend.
And they may have to do that really quick because they have to show Brady that these are the guys that you're going to have to play with.
And not just that, I think there's also, there's part of his contract that they're on the hook for if, in fact, something doesn't happen in a given period of time. Anyway, guns and ammo confiscated from a car. Confiscated from a car at the United Center before the NBA All-Star Game. Authorities confiscated weapons and ammunition from a car at the United Center on Sunday before the start of the NBA All-Star Game. A 2019 black Yukon Denali drove into the loading dock checkpoint area of the arena about 6:45, stopped to be checked by a bomb-sniffing dog before dropping off its passengers. K-9 detected a possible hit and warranted further investigation, police said.
They told them to stay in their car.
Yeah, passengers were told to remain inside the car, but they grabbed their things, got out, and walked towards the UC, saying they were part of the halftime show. While searching the vehicle, officers found two loaded weapons and boxes of live ammo inside a military-style backpack, police said. The driver told investigators he didn't know who the backpack belonged to or what was inside. He had two weapons on him, but he had a valid concealed carry license and a valid, is it FOID card, FOID card? I don't know what that is. No arrests were reported, and authorities were unable to determine who the guns in the backpack were registered to.
Who was it, Abdallah? Well, you know that they're part of the halftime show, is what they claimed.
They claim they're part of the halftime show. Yeah. What am I, the cops? I'm not telling you.
Well, speaking of that, this was a story sent to me with you in mind as well. Odorless cannabis. Nearly ready for the market, a Canadian firm claims. Cannabis connoisseurs looking to get high on the sly may have a new option, nearly odorless pot. Huh.
Do you want it odorless?
I mean, I do because I'm tired of smelling it here in the studio about 5:15 every day.
20 years too late. How about
why don't you just eat it?
Here's the thing. If it's legal, why do I need it to be odorless anymore? Right.
Not just that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, do you want it odorless? You know, like when you drink, you smell what you drink. It's part of the tasting. Do you like that pot smells if you smoke it?
Let me ask you a question. Why would you smoke pot instead of eat pot? What is the difference in terms of how it gets into your system?
When you smoke it, it's an instant effect. Rather, when you eat it, it can take, based on your metabolism, how much you've eaten that day, all that kind of stuff.
But it's not good for your lungs if you smoke it. Correct. Your lungs are okay if you eat it.
But I've heard Seth Rogen and I've heard other people talk about they still enjoy having a joint, sitting back with friends and smoking. It's like having a drink
cigarette.
With someone.
Yeah. Huh. It's interesting. Hey, blame your sugar cravings on a lack of sleep, science says. Next time you catch yourself polishing off a sleeve of cookies before bed, try skipping the snack and hitting the bed earlier. New study published today in the Journal of the American Heart Association reveals the link between sleep deprivation and high-calorie food cravings, particularly in women. The survey of nearly 500 women between the ages of 20 and 76 found that those who reported poor sleep quality or a lack of sleep also consumed more foods high in added sugars, saturated fats, and caffeine.
I've heard that for years. Like, that to me, I read that too today. That isn't news. We know that. The lack of sleep you get, the more you want junk food.
Or eat your junk food, take a pill, and you fall asleep. Or smoke your pot. Eat your junk food and then smoke your pot and you'll fall asleep. Indiana man with crime pays tattoo arrested after yet another police chase. We're in Terre Haute here. An Indiana man with a crime pays tattoo on his forehead has been arrested after yet another police chase. According to the local police department, Donald Murray was charged with resisting law enforcement, reckless driving, possession of meth, maintaining a common nuisance, and auto theft after the short pursuit yesterday morning.
Crime pays.
Did you see that tattoo?
It was right on the forehead.
Yeah, crime pays.
Do you know the Hall of Fame?
Gambling on soccer does not pay, though.
What's the Hall of Fame basketball player who played collegiately at Terre Haute?
Terre Haute High School?
Terre Haute, Indiana. There's a college there, yes.
Terre Haute College,
Hall
NBA.
Hall of Famer, one of the great.
Connie Hawkins!
Top 10 all-time player.
Ooh. Terre Haute, top 10 player. Bird didn't go there before he went to Indiana State, did he?
Well, that's where Indiana State is, in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Oh, I thought it was you were saying that it was Terre Haute College. Oh, okay.
No, I was saying who played it in Terre Haute. Yeah.
There you go. So I indirectly got the answer correct. A 36-year-old woman charged for repeatedly calling 911 because her parents shut off her cell phone.
Jackson Township, Ohio, a Stark County woman was arrested Thursday for repeatedly calling 911 to tell police her parents shut off her cell.
What would you do if your daughter called? You took their cell away and the daughter called 911 to tell on you. What would you do?
I'd collect myself because that type of behavior is not expected. How old is she? Which one is she? I mean, like...
I don't know.
My 27-year-old lives down here. I mean, she's calling 911.
That's in high school. You're the one who lives in
here. I'd say, tell her to stay down here and don't come up to the house
Emerson's
for a while.
The only one who lives under your roof, yeah. Right? So let's say it's her.
She wouldn't be doing many extracurriculars after that. There'd be stark punishment for that. If I shut off your cell phone, it's for a reason. First of all, dad pays for it, so I'm in control of the use of it. If you're calling the police to try and get me because I shut your phone off.
And 911 still works on the phone when it's shut off, right? Isn't that like an emergency thing where even if you have no service on a cell phone, it will still go through? I believe that's...
That I don't know.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, she's not going to... She'd be in her room for the rest of her life.
You're giving me squinty eyes.
I know you can access 911 if your phone's locked.
Right.
But if you don't have cell service,
yeah, I don't know
if you can still get 911, theoretically.
You know what you could do?
Some type of service,
right? Get yourself a mini service horse to make you feel better.
A service horse? Like Michigan, to bring in a plane?
Yeah, a Michigan trainer brings... I said horse. Mini service horse on his first flight. And that horse, look at that horse. That horse is all decked out. What would you do if you were on a plane in your seat like 8C and a horse walks on? I said horse.
What do you do? Take out the cell phone and take some pictures of it and say, man, there's a horse on my plane.
You're pitching a fit. I mean,
do you think so? I mean, like, where is the horse?
Is the horse
in
sitting
the aisle?
In 8B?
I don't know where the horse
was. It looked like it was in where the area between like where you would sit, where your legs would go.
This one looks like it's in first class.
I think the horse gets the aisle.
I think that would make if I'm not allergic to the horse, I think that makes the trip more fun.
For 6 minutes. What the hell? I've got a horse next to me.
You said horse. I purchased 2 first class seats and bulkhead seating. I paid an arm and a leg for tickets, but I did so because it was Fred's first time and I wanted him to be comfortable. I wanted him to have the most room. Fred's the horse. That would be a bit shocking if the horse came on the plane.
Would you rather have a horse next to you or the person in front of you reclining?
Horse. Recline. Recline.
Wouldn't you be pissed that the horse had first class?
Are you kidding me? You would rather have somebody recline in your lap than have a horse next to you?
Oh, I'd rather have the horse than someone recline. I like my space.
Wow. No chance.
If the horse isn't in your space, what's the harm?
Yeah.
How is it not going to be in your space?
It's a mini horse.
Maybe the horse smells. The horse has an aroma.
Do you see the picture? The horse is wearing like a suit.
Do you remember when we were flying back from Mexico, someone had an aroma on our plane, and your wife got so mad that they kept repeating it? Your wife yelled, "All right, enough!" out loud like that.
Maybe she was talking to me. She thought it was me. Hey, more people die taking selfies than in shark attacks. Narcissism is alive and well in 2020. New survey found that 41% of us have already risked our safety in pursuit of a selfie, while more than half would stand on the edge of a cliff for that ideal photo.
Stupid.
Those people are morons.
Yes, they are. All right, coming up next, if you're baseball and you can use hindsight, was there a way that baseball could have gotten this right? And then we'll talk to John Hollinger at 4:15 about some names for the Bulls GM's, quote, search, because we still don't know officially if they're going to be doing that. It's all coming up in 2 minutes.